Good morning to all the listeners. I'm Reverend Joe P. Wilkins, pastor of the Armor Bearer Ministry at Calvary Baptist Church of Pacoima, where Apostle William T. Broaddus is the senior pastor. I'm glad to be here this morning on the gospel for the glory of Jesus, and I want to thank Brother Melvin Slade for inviting me here to KRAJ 100.9 FM. Of the Antelope Valley. Good morning to all the listeners. We are glad you are listening in this morning. I would like to begin with prayer, and from there we will enter into our message. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you, Lord God, that you are our Lord. We thank you for this word. We pray that this word will penetrate our hearts in our minds, that it may be used to glorify you in everything that we do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, what I would like to do is begin with a poem. The poem is entitled, My Life and Hope. The writer is anonymous, but let's begin with our poem. My life started out hopeful with nothing to regret, until I came to know the Lord and found that I was dead. You see, I thought that I was okay and there was nothing to fret. I came to realize that I was a sinner lost in my debt. Too large of a price to pay, so Christ took my debt and gave me his life so that I would not have regrets. He paid a penalty for me that was impossible for me to pay. I owe him my life so others might say yes. Then my life was open to the world to judge. Therefore, I lived my life with honor so that I would not be judged. It brought me the ones that did not believe, whereby God would be glorified amidst all of the suffering. So where am I now, you say? I am living today before God, and he has trampled me like grapes so that I might be a man of honor and virtue, completing his journey every day. Today's message is entitled, Hope in Our Suffering. Hope in our suffering. If you open your Bibles, if you have that opportunity, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14 through 16. 1 Peter 3, 14 through 16. I'm reading from the NIV, and it reads, "But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander." I have 3 points today that I would like you to focus on. The first point is blessed hope. The second point is ready to make a defense. The third is good conscience and behavior. In verse 14, Peter is using the word blessed here with a thought of honor or privilege, as in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those who suffer for the sake of Christ are blessed, not will be or have been blessed, but are blessed. In the present tense. Therefore, our suffering is compared to his suffering. And as children of God, we are heirs to his blessing. When we are suffering, our emotions and feelings convey to us the thought of abandonment. However, when we study the word of the Lord, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we find that there is hope in the face of hopelessness, comfort in the ditch of despair, and confidence in the valley of adversity. We can find shelter in the midst of a storm when we trust and obey our Lord. Peter points out in verse 14, we are not to fear, for where trouble comes as a result of your righteous acts, do not be frightened, for God is with you. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 8, verse 12 and 13. It reads, do not call conspiracy everything this people calls a conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear, and do not dread it. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. In this passage, Isaiah the prophet stood against King Ahaz as he made an alliance with Assyria to fight a battle that he should have put his complete confidence and hope in their Lord to fight his battles. The people considered Isaiah as a traitor because he trusted in the Lord, and they said he was a conspirator. Sometimes we can be falsely accused and judged unfairly because of our enemies. But the word says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 to 44, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbors and hate your enemies. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sons to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. It is very clear to us that we are to pray for and not to do evil to those who persecute and say all kinds of things about us. This is the life that we are compelled to live in Christ. So if we live, we live in Christ. If we die in Christ. So do not fear. Most of us have encountered at some time someone accusing us of doing something that we did not do. When we encounter these things, we are to pray for those who says these things about us and forgive them. Point number two, ready to make a defense. As Peter writes this letter of encouragement and gives godly principles of living, he is saying to sanctify your hearts with the hope that is within you. This means to set apart in your heart that Jesus is Lord over your life. Because it is the heart where we worship God as Lord, it is the sanctuary of worship. John chapter 4, verse 24 reads, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. Peter wants the believer to understand what he believes and why he believes it. This is important to the believing Christian and to the unbeliever, so that the believer will be able to articulate the reason for his beliefs. Therefore, the gospel can be shared with the gentleness and humility to all who would ask. It is our task as Christians to share the gospel of Jesus Christ thoughtfully, reasonably, biblically, reverently, and humbly as it has been given to us. This is so that no one will walk away without understanding that the truth has been presented accurately and completely to them by a true servant of Christ. Colossians chapter 6 read, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Believers are compelled by God to let everyone know the reason for our faith, and in doing so, they also can have the same hope that is in us, and that is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Point number three, God's good conscience and behavior. Peter wishes to encourage the new Christians to live a life with a good conscience, a life without guilt and shame, a life without false accusations, but more of a life in the Spirit. We have a great enemy who accuses us daily before our Lord. So our minds and behavior must be clear of those things that accuses us. In verse 16, it is a reference to the law. When we try to live by the law, we fall short. But when we live by faith through grace in Jesus Christ, then we are victorious. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So we ought to live a life worthy of God's call. So when we are accused, there is no merit to the accusation. This will cause false accusers to feel the guilt and the shame for their lies. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12 and 15. Live such a good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Peter is asking Christians to live the example that Christ has left for us and in the same manner be holy and blameless, with gentleness, kindness, and self-control, leaving no room for error, but asking daily for a fresh filling of the Spirit of God daily. This will produce a manifestation of the Spirit in words and deeds. What we have discovered in the text is that we should love one another as Christians, to live an honorable life in the midst of suffering. How do I accomplish that? By living the principles of suffering for righteousness. First of all, doing what is right in adversity. Secondly, by reverencing God as Lord in our hearts. Thirdly, by being ready to give a reason for our faith in gentleness and respect. And fourthly, keeping a clear conscience. If you have not applied these principles in your life today, then let's start fresh, keeping the hope that is in us alive today, so that God might be glorified in everything that we do, everything that we say, and presenting ourselves before those who do not know him in a manner that is worthy of God's call. Christ died for us, but he died for us that we might live a life that is exemplary before him. Our lives today are not our own. We've been bought with a price. So let's allow the Spirit of God to work in us to do good, to carry out those things that God has called us to do. I thank my God and my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for what he has done in my life. I pray that he does the same in yours. May God bless you and may God keep you. Amen.